The word innovation has become a bit of a buzzword lately. Everything seems to be about the latest innovation or innovative solutions or being able to deliver on new innovations. It's a term that's teetering on cliche as it saturates more blogs and more presentations every single day. But cliches become cliches for a reason. When they are especially descriptive of a series of events, notable trends, given phenomenon, you know, anything that really renders the term so common that it becomes second nature. And that's exactly what's happening with the word innovation. Think about it. Think about the number of connected devices that have come online, the journey from regular old cell phones, for example, to smartphones, and how that's packed in things like higher quality cameras and stronger computing power than their standalone counterparts ever had. Or parking meters that have the ability to detect when other meters on its network are in use, and thus the original one can up its price, reflecting real-time demand. Even more industrial categories are being impacted by this wave of innovation. GE recently integrated sensors and software into one of its engines, the GENX in particular. And this allows that engine to detect and respond to environmental factors in real time, as well as provide a data feed for service teams to review, learn from, and apply to future endeavors. But what is it that makes these examples truly innovative? What makes them stand out from your regular old inventions? Well, for one, they are fresh, showcasing an element of creativity that is truly inspirational, but not so far out there that they are unrealistic or unsustainable. These examples are relevant, and by that I mean they are both timely and targeted. Take ride-sharing apps, for instance. They wouldn't have transformed the transportation industry so indefinitely had they come out long before everyone had a smartphone attached to their person at all times, or if they had launched in areas where there was no gap between public transit and community needs. To innovate is defined as to make changes in something established, especially by introducing new methods, ideas, or products. And getting back to the point about innovation becoming second nature, we are living in an incredibly innovative time. The 2018 Internet Trends Report, an annual study on the state of the internet and really all things technology from KPCB's Mary Meeker, found that the world is at an all-time high in how much we invest in technology in both private and public sectors. It also found that the country's top five R&D and CapEx spenders are all tech companies, which, in my humble opinion, are at least two major contributors to why you're seeing so many innovations come out in such a short time period. So, if you can move past the buzzword and refocus on the true meaning of the term, the true meaning of innovation, you might find yourself internalizing the concept in a way that points to visionary yet actionable plans. And that's exactly what my guest today is doing with his clientele, helping people see beyond the buzzword so that they can turn the latest trend into meaningful opportunities across the mission. Join me in welcoming Alan Badeau to the show. Alan is the CTO of NCI, a leading enterprise solutions and services provider of cybersecurity, advanced analytics, and engineering logistics to the federal government. Alan is a true trailblazer. He challenges himself and his team to look at common problems through a new lens in order to help departments and agencies find those fresh, creative, relevant, realistic solutions. First, Alan will share his perspective on the big picture impact innovative technology can have on the mission. Then he'll walk us through how the NCI team is putting that philosophy into practice. Spoiler alert, it's on the cloud, as well as the benefits that they're seeing as a result. And then finally, Alan will share some of the tips, tricks, and best practices he and his team have learned from their hands-on experience. This is another innovative, transformative, disruptive, modernization-centric episode. Did I get enough buzzwords in there for you? Of Our Digital Nation. Thanks for tuning in.
Our Digital Nation is brought to you by the FedRAMP-approved Salesforce Government Cloud. Give leadership, management, and employees the mobile, self-service, analytical tools they need to connect data, process, and people. Create a digital platform that puts the customer at the heart of the mission.
I've been with NCI for almost 18 months as their CTO, and generally my role is to help the company from a technology strategy perspective. What are some of the things that are going to impact our customers? What are some of the technologies that are really going to shift how they do business? And then we've decided that from an investment perspective, it's important for us to really be able to bring innovation into our customers' environments. So what we set up was our innovation lab called NCI Create. That allows us to bring in new technology into a sandbox environment where our employees, whether they are remote or whether they're on site, can work with a set of tools and systems that allow them to test new technologies out before we deploy them into our customer spaces.
How cool. So it kind of makes you guys a test bed, if you will.
That's exactly right. That's one of the fun things about my group. We support a lot of different initiatives for the company from an innovation perspective, from a technology integration aspect. But, you know, if you look at the profile of our customers, they're all federal government. The majority of our customers are on the DoD side, primarily inside the Army, the National Guard, the Navy, some Air Force, and other civilian customers like DHS and those environments. Our mission really is to provide IT services that are going to be a value add to them, whether that is supporting a data center, whether that's creating a knowledge management environment that's going to allow them to share best practices throughout an ecosystem or an enterprise, like, for instance, DHS-wide from an agile development perspective. It's those sort of things that we're doing that allow us to really provide the highest level of services that we can. My team is always playing with new toys, new technologies, figuring out ways that we can break them and really applying some lessons learned that we can get that information out to our teams in the field.
What do you see specifically as the relationship between some of these objectives and that future state, that 3 to 5 year horizon with respect to that data conversation?
Yeah, one of the key areas that I've always stressed in the past is it's hard for some of our customers, and of course, by no fault of theirs or the tools that they have, or in some cases, the tools that we have provided to them, it's hard for them to understand big data, but it's just as hard for them to understand little data, because being able to pull the messages and pull the knowledge that you really want to glean from that data is key. When somebody gives you petabytes of data and information and want an answer, but they really don't have a question in mind, that's where a lot of issues start to pop up, where we're looking at that sort of impact from an artificial intelligence perspective is saying, okay, how can we use, whether it's our internal artificial intelligence tool called Shay, or whether we can take Shay and combine her with additional AI tools to go out and better understand and mine the data, that's really key. Because what it does is it allows us to access data that's across multiple systems without changing a customer's environment. And a lot of times we're dealing with very legacy heavy infrastructures. We can go across those seamlessly and garner the information from those systems and put it in something that looks a lot more user-friendly.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. Data and AI is a really rich topic that we first touched on more conceptually in one of our early episodes, episode 2, I believe it was, with Deloitte's Bill Eggers. And then again in our last episode with IDC's Alan Weber, this time from more of a technology-oriented angle on how apps and platforms contribute to the topic overall. But the way that NCI's Alan is looking at it is different. Data and AI is quickly becoming the next competitive differentiator. You can look back to that same Internet Trends report I mentioned in the opening to see how quickly home assistant devices and voice recognition technology are taking off. Those wouldn't be nearly as effective or nearly as accurate if there wasn't ample data for them to draw on. That's exactly the approach that Alan is taking with his team. He is focusing less on AI itself and more on how to build a platform that can enable AI's capabilities and unlock its full potential. Things like giving his team the ability to gather enough information to make decisions based on statistically significant data. Giving his teams the tools to explore and engage with all that data so that they know what questions to ask and what signals to look out for. Alan sees the call to action now and recognizes the longer-term ripple effects that his decisions today might have. It's a mentality that is the foundation for success, No matter what that next big thing is, be it AI or blockchain or the Internet of Things or any other kind of Wild West category that might pop up, this approach helps Alan's team understand how to put that next big thing into practice, not just marvel at its potential. And that's huge.
We all know that information is really powerful, but knowledge at somebody's fingertips is even more actionable. Whether it's a DOD system or a commander in the field, all the way to somebody that's looking at fraud, waste, and abuse for CMS. The quicker that we can get that information to the right folks, then the quicker they can make a decision that they have more confidence in.
So let's then take a look at the cloud and all of this. What role did the cloud or does the cloud play in delivering on these opportunities, delivering on these objectives?
What I've been working really hard to do is saying, okay, you know what? If we're proposing a solution to our customers, why are we not looking at it ourselves and using it? You have more credibility when you say we're using it in-house, we're driving solutions with it. Here are some of the benefits. And by the way, these are some of the cost savings that we're seeing. The cloud is really that tool that is allowing us to take environments that have been traditionally either stovepipe or legacy ridden from an infrastructure perspective to modernize those across their entire ecosystem. That's power. We've gone through a recent migration where now we can take information that is released across a variety of government platforms and pull those into our CRM ecosystem. That means we can mine information a lot faster. We can pull different types of data that we want to dig into. We can really embed that in our capture, our bid and proposal processes, as well as our relationship management piece. Because, for instance, if we have identified a certain opportunity and there are different speakers that are across a variety of different conferences, we can prioritize what those meetings look like. We can put notes in real time into our Salesforce platform. So that information gets distributed across entire teams in seconds, whereas before you're talking hours, in some cases days, in some cases, well, this person had to go on travel and then it's weeks. We've gotten so much better at taking that information and getting it out to our teams. Our products have, just in the last few months, the proposals and the information that we're putting in those proposals has just increased tenfold from a quality perspective. Our folks in the field can also participate in that process. They can document different meetings or relationships or partners that they're working with. We can take that information and then even propagate that throughout NCI so we can apply that to other programs.
What might this deployment look like if it were applied more broadly? You may have caught Alan talking about the relationship management aspect of NCI's bid and capture solution. What this means is Alan and team are using the CRM to create a 360-degree profile of the people or targets involved in a given project so that everybody at NCI can get to know that individual on a personal basis and obviously use that information to deliver better services. What if your mission was more, I don't know, HHS-oriented, and you wanted to apply Alan's approach in a way that helps you give the right staff the right access to the right information about the right clientele, anytime, anywhere, let everyone get to know that client on a very personal level. You could use Alan's same approach to build a digital profile of that individual, pull in any background history or any kind of records, map in things like family members, the needs of those family members, and so on. You could then pull together real-time reports to see how many people are similar to that original client. Start to take a look at what kind of projects or the volume of services that you expect to support in the coming months, and thus more accurately forecast your resource requirements.
One of the things as part of the Create Lab that we wanted all of NCI to be able to participate in was being able to use the cloud resources, the on-prem supercomputer that we have, as well as some of the other tools, software development tools, cybersecurity tools, those sort of things, so that they can do some basic research that can either apply to the program or in some cases can apply to that 3 to 5 year outlook that we're trying to stay ahead of. The challenge was being able to do that how do we manage all that knowledge that we're going to be able to gather? How do we put it in a place where the right folks are going to see it, the right information is going to be out there, and the right knowledge is going to be communicated to whatever medium that they're trying to communicate through, whether that's to a customer, whether that's to a different program, whether that's to a partner. So what we've done is we've taken the Salesforce platform, and that has become our knowledge management base. From a pilot project perspective to a prototype to an operational deployment of one of those innovations that have gone through the funnel, we are tracking that information within that system. So for instance, whether it's artificial intelligence, whether it's cybersecurity, even blockchain, we've got SMEs that are on these programs that are using the platform to document some of the latest and greatest things that they're doing on the program. So we don't have to continuously reinvent the wheel. We can take lessons learned and best practices and really start to seed some of the other programs. We've seen a benefit from that also.
On the knowledge management side, Alan talked about, what he's doing here is giving his teams access to online community environments that act like watering holes on a given topic. Employees can use these to post questions, access articles or FAQs, documenting winning strategies, tag experts, those who maybe tackled a similar project in the past, and learn from one another, enabling his team to validate and refine new ideas faster. Imagine what this could do for delivery timelines if it was layered on top of something like a case management system. If there was a question about a specific type of case or a certain request, how much easier would it be to resolve it and move on if you could browse information on that same type of case or look through previous conversations and see how others came across and answered that question in the past, all in a way that scales? Wouldn't you be much more confident in your next steps or your decisions if you knew that the folks recommending them had gathered input from people who had been right there and done just that?
So I think from my perspective, cloud has started to allow us to get to what we're calling a CIAM model. By CIAM, I'm talking about system integration and automation management. The key about the cloud is you can bring vendors in, vendors out, new tools in, new tools out at a more rapid pace than ever before. And that really allows you to have new tools that are developed a lot faster. You don't have to have somebody that sits on contract for an entire 5 years and all they do is certain developments. You can roll in and roll out new services, microservices, new application development, and even new infrastructures a lot faster. By being able to do services like that in the cloud and then also have a communication mechanism like Salesforce, then the combination of those two becomes such a strong solution for many of our customers. I think that is really what the next generation of government services is going to look like.
One of the sentences that really stuck with me from our prep work on this was when you said, moving folks past the buzzwords. And it sounds like that's exactly what that effort does. It's helping you to really understand the practicality behind a lot of this stuff and not just categorize things and move on without really getting the full value out of it.
Let's use artificial intelligence as a perfect example of that. That's the biggest buzzword out there today in industry. Not everybody needs deep learning or machine learning to accomplish what their end goal is. Sometimes robotic process automation is just as good. You don't need to go beyond that. So it's applying the right level of innovation to the problem instead of trying to take an innovation and find a problem for it. I think that's really helped our customers out a lot. We're not going out and developing new software-defined networking tools. What we're doing is we're standing on the shoulders of giants, so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We're taking those technologies, we're integrating those in, then we're applying those to our customer ecosystems and environments. We're trying to just solve problems. In some cases, it's using solutions that are out there today and just integrating those into our customers' environments. In other cases, it is taking that next step, not only from a technology perspective, but also from a confidence perspective and saying, we know this solution works. we believe in it, and we think that we can take it from a commercial environment into a government space. In some cases, it's a big leap. That's what we're trying to do. I mean, of course, commercial, they're ahead of the government in a lot of different ways, but in some cases, there are great reasons for that. What we're trying to do is bridge that gap. If I can bridge that gap between the commercial space and the government space, make that a seamless transition, and then at the end of the day, our customers say, that was a strong step that you guys took. We really see the value, and now it's paying off. Then I would say that's what really makes me the happiest.
How do you think that reflects overall on the mission for you guys?
Mission is always first for us. If we're not supporting our customer's mission, then at the end of the day, we're unsuccessful. Our CEO, Paul Dillahay, and all the way down from the senior leadership team would support that statement. What we are trying to do and reshape how NCI does business internally is still focused on the customer mission, because if we can provide them more transparency, more fidelity into the solutions and services that we're providing, as well as a greater mechanism to collaborate and to communicate, then it becomes a partnership. That's really what we want at the end of the day. We want to be partners with our customers, partners with our vendors and our teams that we work with. And then also we want our employees to feel like they are ingrained in that partnership.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Our Digital Nation. If you want to learn more about Alan's work at NCI, you can check out our case study at sfdc.co/NCI. That's sfdc.co/NCI.
Thank you for tuning into Our Digital Nation. To learn more about the trends and technology behind the discussion, visit us at salesforce.com/industries/government, or follow us on Twitter at SalesforceGOV.